Still before a live studio audience.
Right, good evening, everybody. We are back, the Five Hole Taxi Squad Fantasy Hockey Podcast, and we're doing things a little different tonight. And we are your hosts, Alan and Craig. We are doing the trade deadline discussion from the Taxi Squad perspective live with you tonight, with myself and Alan, as Jay is on vacation, and Matty K will be returning from vacation at some point today. So hopefully he will join us later this week in the flagship programs that you are generally used to out there in listener land. But tonight's format will be live for you. We'll try to be about an hour. We're going to talk about all that was in the NHL trade deadline last week, or I guess this week, Alan. But before we get into that, Alan, how are you doing tonight, man? We're going to see a lot of each other over the next week with Jay basking in the sun and drinking maybe his mojitos. But how are we doing tonight, brother?
All right, man. Exciting times. My glimmer of playoff hopes in the listener league took a big hit tonight.
Yeah, man. You know, it's that time of the year for everybody in the Apples and Genos patron league. I'm in it real tough right now. I might be squeaking out a win that might keeps my playoff hopes alive, but then I face Josh next week in an ultimate showdown, which could be for the last and final playoff spot. And then in my home league, I am hanging on by the skin of my teeth right now to that final eighth spot. So it's getting testy right now. I got a couple of spots where I've clinched already, where I'm in the top three, blah, 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 the good stuff where you're kind of coasting, but those two important leagues right now, they're testing me. And okay, let's be honest with the people out there. I haven't fared very well in our Taxi Squad Listener League this year. It's been a grind. I have been as high as seventh. I have been as low as last. It looks like I'm going to finish somewhere in that bottom tier of that league. You know, kudos to the listeners out there that joined us in that. They made for some real tough competition, no doubt about that. But I'll try to spoil some you know, the guys that you were competing with for the playoffs. I'll try to spoil their endeavors in our last week going into next week's final week of at least that league's regular season. So as we said, tonight we're going to do this live, but for those out there that don't join us, we are going to release this as a podcast either Monday or Tuesday of this week, whenever our fine producer, aka the man to my left, Alan, the pork man, can get that out to you. We are going to, you know, I didn't put that in the announcement that we were going live because I wanted to see if some listeners would join us and submit some questions, which has happened, which is awesome. So we really appreciate you guys out there that have joined us tonight and that have submitted some questions in the Taxi Squad hotline on the Discord. But we will release this episode as a podcast for those that haven't been able to join us tonight. But we are going to name this the Taxi Squad Trade Deadline Special. So Alan and I are going to take you through what we deem as the Taxi Squad as the most, I guess, critical, Alan, if you want, or the most
fantasy relevant.
Yeah, the most fantasy relevant trades that took place between Wednesday of last week and the trade deadline on Friday in the NHL. And, you know, I haven't really glimpsed at it myself, but some of these guys are still pretty available in a lot of leagues. So I think we'll also give you kind of our thought process on if you can pick them up, potentially pick them up. But before we get into that, we'll do our housekeeping. So for those out there and those listening, please like, subscribe, and leave us 5 stars wherever you get your fine podcasts. This helps us get the show out to new listeners out there in the listenerverse. So we would really appreciate that support there, wherever you get your podcasts when this comes out, Monday, Tuesday of, I guess, the new week as it starts tomorrow morning. We also invite you to join the Discord out there if you are not part of it, the five-hole Discord, that it is 2,500 plus strong, like-minded fantasy hockey individuals talking all things fantasy hockey and life in general. If you ain't in there, get your butts in there. It's a lot of fun. You'll find all of us from the Taxi Squad in there, you know, interacting with you guys as much as we can. TJ's also in there when he's not flying all over the world. And I'm sure Raj and Zach are still reading the content whenever they can in their busy schedules. We also invite you to follow all four of us, Jay and Maddie K included, on Twitter, /X. You can see Alan and Mai's handle in your bottom left corner if you're watching us live, or you can find our handles as always in our show notes. I think that does it there, Alan. So I think what we were going to do before we jump into these trades, because good Lord, man, what 72 hours in the NHL? I think I read there was like over 40 deals over that Wednesday to Friday time period. One of the busier trade deadlines that I can remember, at least in a vacuum. I don't know about you, Alan.
It still seems low, but it also definitely seems like a buyer's market this season.
Yeah,
compared to previous seasons, and I wonder how much of that is the flat cap.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens when the cap does go up next year at trade deadline for those contenders. But I think where we wanted to start, because we did get some questions from the listeners, was in the Discord. We'll start in the questions, and then we'll do a deeper dive into the trades. So what do we got first, Alan? What are we looking at from the people?
Do Vilardi, Ehlers, and Hanifin still have fantasy relevance due to the Toffoli and Hanifin moves?
Okay, so this starts us off right on the, I guess, the right foot of our discussion for these deals. And for, as I'm sure everybody already knows, because it was one of the deals that happened early, Noah Hanifin was dealt to the Golden Knights on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds right. I think it was the night before deadline.
And for those that listen to us regularly, I am not even going to, you know, the package back to the Flames is not really fantasy relevant, but they got Miro Manoff. Is he a defenseman? Yes. A conditional first round pick, a conditional 2025 third round pick, and the Knights, the Flames, also retained 50% of Hanifin's salary in that move. And then Vilardi and who? And Ehlers and Hanifin. Okay. And then I would imagine, who is our listener in there? What's his name?
Palace Ash.
Okay, Palace Ash. So he's also asking about Vilardi and Ehlers' relevance after the Toffoli deal, which took place on Friday morning. So Tyler Toffoli went to the Winnipeg Jets for a 2024 third round pick and a 2025 second round pick with 50% salary retention from the Devils. So where do you want to start, Alan? Where do you feel?
Probably just go down the list. Vilardi's out right now, but I feel like as soon as he comes back, he should definitely probably slot back up into line one. Power play spot though, that's well, who do they have right now?
So in PP1, I would imagine he's going to get another shot at PP1 when he returns, because for some, you know, again, we've talked about this a lot, other content guys have talked about this a lot, for some reason in the world that is the Winnipeg Jets organization, Nikolai Ehlers still does not get much love from that management team or that coaching staff. So since Vilardi went down, and even with the acquisition of Sean Monahan earlier in the month, Iafallo is on the first power play unit with Scheifele, Monahan, Connor, and Morrissey. Ehlers is on the second power play unit, as he has been for most of the season. I know he's seen splashes on PP1. So yeah, I think I agree with you with Nemestikov on line one right now with Scheifele and Connor. I think Vilardi ends up back there. But here's the thing, and I'm interested in your thoughts, Alan, for the people out there. Does Toffoli bump Nemestikov off line one and take power play one from Iafallo? Or does he bump Iafallo from line two, and Velarde still gets his line one spot, where he's been pretty successful when he was healthy. And
yeah, that's how I'm at most. I could see at even strength, they try shuffling Toffoli and Velarde between line one, line two. I forget how long Velarde's supposed to be out, but I think if he's back soonish, I say they slot Toffoli line two with Monahan and Ehlers seems to be the most prevalent theory there. But I think definitely Velarde absolutely takes line one back as soon as he comes back.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I was just looking up to see if there's a Velarde. I think Velarde, based on how he's played when he's been healthy, has been very good in that line one power play one spot. I would imagine they're going to get him, give him that back when he returns. There's really no update. He's still day to day with that upper body injury. He's missed, it says as of Thursday, he was supposed to miss the next two games, which would have taken him right to today. So that's definitely something to monitor if you're a Velarde holder. But I agree with you. I think Toffoli is there now to give them a top six upgrade over Iafallo. But I don't necessarily see. I would imagine he gets PP1 in the interim until Velarde comes back.
So Toffoli, but, yeah, 100%. Yeah,
100%. I think he bumps Iafallo off power play one. And honestly, Palace Ash. Ehlers has seen, what, 1 month of relevance, and then everything else has been, what, 13 to 16 minutes time on ice and no power play one spot. So I really don't think that Toffoli acquiring Toffoli really doesn't nothing to Ehlers. I think it's, and Alan, you can disagree with me, I think it will be to be determined what it does to Velarde, depending on how that shapes up over the next 3 weeks in terms of line one deployment and power play one deployment, right?
If anything, Ehlers stays exactly where he's at, and now he has a better line mate to play with. I think that's the biggest possible boost for Ehlers.
And I just don't think, they just don't like giving him ice time, though. That's the only problem, right? Like, it's no, even though he's in the top six, he doesn't ever get top 6 minutes. Like,
watch, they'll use this as an excuse to bump him down to line three and give him a Mestikov line two.
Now, as for the Hanifin move.
Yeah. Oof. Well, okay. So I thought that Hanifin had been on power play one on Calgary longer than, or, you know, much longer than we thought, but apparently Uyghur had been kind of taking power play one for a while now. Hanifin was up there for a while, and I missed when they moved him down. So yeah, Hanifin's been power play two on Calgary for a minute. So
yeah, sorry, finish your thought.
No, I was about to say, so power play two on Vegas, power play two on Calgary. You know, you're on the second unit. Your line mates aren't as good as they could possibly be in either case.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he sees a little bit more time on ice on the power play just because of how Vegas rolls all their lines and rolls their power play. He's with Petrangelo on the top pairing. He's with Pet as well on the second power play unit which they are with Anthony Mantha, who is newly acquired there, Nicholas Waugh, and Ivan Barbashev. Just for some perspective on Hanifin, I believe his debut with the Knights was yesterday, so Saturday. He had two assists in that game. He was a plus three. He had one block. He played almost 20 minutes, 20 and a half minutes time on ice. Were they at even strength? I would imagine so. Sorry, bear with me here. Mm-hmm. Yes. So he assisted on Marchessault's first period goal, and he assisted on the empty netter by Marchessault last night at even strength. So honestly, I don't know what you think, Alan, out of these four players, cause we're putting Toffoli into that mix and into Winnipeg. You always take the healthy guys. So right. Like Ehlers out. I really am not interested in having him on my fantasy hockey team going forward, maybe next week because of the off nights. if you really need a boost from a jet and he's available. Velarde, if you're stashing him, yes, you want to keep stashing him and see if he maintains that deployment he had before the injury. But I think there's some serious relevance to Toffoli, at least in the short term, until Velarde comes back, because I think he walks into PP1 and line one until Velarde comes back, and then it's to be determined at that point. And, you know, it looks to be at this point, Hanifin has taken a bump in ice time, because he was getting like 23 minutes-ish, 22 minutes in Calgary. Looks like he's getting, you know, it's only one game sample, so small sample size, but top pairing and on a better rotation from a power play deployment standpoint than in Calgary. He's been solid, I think, overall as a depth defenseman. He doesn't really hit. He blocks a little bit, but you're getting shots on goal from him. You're getting peripheral points. You know, I think he's a good defenseman, like a good depth defenseman moving forward, but I don't think he's going to be like, you know, there's a defenseman that you and I are really high on right now that also got traded that we'll get to. I think he's maybe a step down from him in terms of fantasy ceiling, but I think he's going to add a safe floor from a depth defenseman on a fantasy hockey team with this move, even with the reduction in ice time, right? Because he's playing with a better defensive partner. You know, we're going to get to everything that Vegas did, but he's playing on an overall better team that's getting healthy. I think you still get some value from Hanifin after this deal, but the higher ceiling player until we see when Velarde's actually returning is Toffoli out of those four guys. I think that's legitimate there. Okay. What else we got? I see the cake eaters.
Yeah. It's a activate Keller off IR question. I don't know if we want to keep it to trade deadline or.
Look, we're answering these questions. They came in after we announced it. So we'll answer them all and then we can jump into the trades that don't come up in these conversations.
Need to drop either Marchment or Raymond this week to get Keller off IR. Had the bye in the first round of our playoffs, looking to semis this week. Which one do you go for? So it's a head-to-head points, goals, assists, special teams points, hits, blocks, PIMs, shots, and game-winning goal.
You and I don't even really have to discuss this.
Yeah, I don't think there's much discussion here. Raymond.
We talked about it on the live show yesterday for Start Sits. It's Raymond.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep Marchment, but Marchment does a little bit more in terms of sprinkling peripherals. Yes, you don't know what you're getting from who's hot and who's not in Dallas, like we talked about yesterday. But Raymond has been relatively cold. He's been even colder since Larkin got hurt. He doesn't do anything hits and blocks from a standpoint or a PIM standpoint. So you're getting more category coverage in your scoring cake eaters with Marchment, even if he's not necessarily scoring every game. So a stamp of approval, Alan and Craig from the Taxi Squad.
Oh yeah.
Raymond, goodbye.
And then next from Zudo, where do you see Hurdle in the Vegas lineup? And okay, absolutely had this in my notes.
Well, we'll back up for a second because this is the craziness that occurred with the Golden Knights. And I'm just going to say to the people out there, and I said this to Alan and Jay before he went on holidays, the Golden Knights might be my second favorite hockey team right now because they manage their hockey team the exact same way that I manage most of my fantasy teams. They don't give a shit about draft picks. They don't give a shit about prospects. And they sure as shit don't care about the salary cap. So in a very, very surprise move before the deadline on Friday, where nobody saw it coming, including like the top end analysts in the NHL media, somehow the Golden Knights decided to make a move on Tomas Hertl from the San Jose Sharks, got him to waive his no movement clause, even though he's recovering from a knee scope. And they acquired him and gave the Sharks David Enstrom, a 2025 first round pick, and retained 17% of Hurdle's salary over the remaining 6 years of his deal, which is insane. And we'll just go back for a second to our previous discussion. They also acquired Noah Hanifin. They also acquired Anthony Mantha and they just got Eichel back. This team is just, oh my God. I know they've been struggling, but good Lord, talk about loading up. So I'll let you share your thoughts on what you think is going to happen with Hurdle, but, and then I can jump in there, but damn, this team, like, they might have the deepest center in the league now, if Eichel can get back to where he was before his injury.
Yeah, no, I 100% see him in the 2C position. I think they have better weapons than him, so I don't think he sees power play one, probably power play two, that with the Hanifin and Petrangelo unit. I almost wonder if they move Stevenson to his wing. I feel like they were trying something like that right before trade deadline here. But I have a hard time finding like prior lineups, but yeah, definitely he's got to be 2C when he comes back.
Yeah, I think that's the 100% his spot. That's why they made this move, right? I think they want to keep Carlson in the 3C with that kind of young kid line that he has with Michael. What's his Amadio? There we go. And Brendan Bresson. And Carlson's just still kind of getting back up to speed from his injury. And I think you probably see Dvorov get sent down or bump Bryson down like back to the AHL. But I really like that line, to be honest. If Mantha can be a Vegas Golden Knights player and use his giant 6'5" frame, Hurdle, Stevenson, and Mantha, you know, a playmaker, an all around 2C in Hurdle and a shooter in Mantha, like that is such a deep center makeup now. And I already saw reports after the deal from yesterday that Hurdle is going to be back before the regular season ends from his knee procedure. Now, Alan, do you think it's entirely possible that he bumps Chando out of power play one? Like or even William Carlson, right? Like their power play one right now is Carlson, Eichel, Stevenson, Marchessault, and Theodore. So to me, Hurdle could bump one of Carlson or Stevenson out of there, whoever gets bumped, which could be either of them, maybe bumps Nicholas Waugh out of power play two.
I guess armchair hockey GM. Let's get Chando out of there and put Hurdle in.
I think this gives, like, I think you and I agree, this gives Hurdle, for those that have stashed him or have managed to pick him up and stash him since this move, it gives him immense short-term value for fantasy hockey playoffs, going from the lowly San Jose Sharks to, you know, again, an absolutely loaded Vegas team. And, you know, I know they say that Stone is out long term with his lacerated spleen, but could he rise from the ashes and also join this team in the first round or second round? Yeah, of the
he's
playoffs?
Faking it. Remember, it's all just cap circumvention.
Yeah. So, like, if that happens too, and then he goes on Hurdle's wing with Mantha, like, good God, man, do I want a piece of that? But yeah, I think. And I think I mentioned it to you, and I don't even know if you answered me, and I don't know if Jay did in our team chat, but I think in a deeper keeper league, this gives Hurdle some sneaky keeper value. Like if it's a keep four, and you don't have like a good center to keep, I think this gives him some sneaky opportunity to be in a deep keeper league. Keeper, like a keep four or keep five, something like that. Like I love this for Thomas Hurdle. I think you're really going to see Hurdle push his ceiling as a player with this move.
Yeah, I definitely, obviously a much better team opportunity than he was in San Jose, but yeah, maybe he does get power play one. I mean, or at least I see a good path to him getting power play one.
Yeah, because really, like, do we really think Stevenson is a power play player? Like, no. He's fast, but he doesn't. He's like, again, another, you know, Rob
Thomas,
Rob Thomas light player, right? Like, it's not, it doesn't, you know, that doesn't speak to me in a team that has Stanley Cup aspirations. They're going to want to load up their power plays, and the Hurdle just allows them to do that even more. All right, where are we going now?
Yep, next is the Cake Eaters. Is Guentzel worth an IR stash or a wait and see? If Guentzel is somehow in free agency in your league, the fuck are you doing asking us what to do?
Yeah, like Cake Eater, I hope after you typed that, you were like, add.
Right? Like, what happened that Guentzel was available? Like, that's a guy, unless you are just an injury ward, you make room for him in IR. So 100%, yeah, like, smash that.
Yeah, 1000%. I see we've got a couple other people that wanted to know our thoughts on that, but like, you, which means he's available in multiple leagues, you absolutely smash that ad regardless of your concerns. And like, we expressed a little, we talked about this a little bit in the show yesterday, regardless of the concerns of the Brind'Amour blender and potentially what could happen in that top six, potentially what could happen in that power play unit. Yes, if he is available, you absolutely want one of the elite goal scorers in the NHL who's going to get 100% top line and 100% top power play, regardless of time on ice, in with his new team. You want that for your fantasy hockey playoffs. But before we dig into it a little bit more deeper with our thoughts, we'll go into the trade details. So the Canes got Jake Guentzel and Ty Smith from the Pittsburgh Penguins. And in return, the Penguins got, you know, Kyle Dubas special, Michael Bunting, which we can get into. And apparently all of a sudden he's fantasy relevant again with his newfound deployment, even though Pittsburgh is an absolute dumpster fire right now, regardless of the premier Hall of Fame players that they still have on that squad. Ville Kovanen, Vasil Ponomarev, and Cruz Lucas, including a conditional 2024 first round pick, a conditional 2024 fifth round pick, and Pittsburgh also retained 25% of Guentzel's salary for this year. From what I understand, I know this, none of those three prospects are in Carolina's top tier of prospects. They're all Finnish. So maybe Kyle Dubas has been studying analytics for Finland prospects a little bit too hard. But, you know, you and I and Jay talked about this before we went on holidays, like, coming from a Leafs fan perspective, when Kyle Dubas likes a player, he makes sure he gets them on his goddamn team.
plays real hockey like I play fantasy. It's like, what? Yeah. How much is it going to cost me? Deal.
Yeah, like, wait, I can get Michael Bunting? I'll give you Guentzel and, you know, what once was a half-decent D prospect in Ty Smith. You just give me whatever you want with Bunting. I just want Bunting. That's what happened in this conversation. But you know, they also in a minor, I don't know, so the Canes are shooting high. They want secondary scoring, or however you want it. They want a scoring bump. They got Guentzel. They also took a hardcore, what are we talking about? Dive into the flames with the acquisition of Genny Kuznetsov from the Washington Capitals. So this reshapes their top six, really, Alan. I think it bumps.
In the long run, yes. We'll we can get into that later.
But yeah, like, to answer the question from Cake Eater, yes, go 100%. Get him, regardless of the concerns in Carolina and on time on ice and deployment. All right. Did we answer everybody's questions before we dive into the other ones?
Okay. That was it.
So where do you want to start?
I figure we start with Anthony Mantha. I feel like that was kind of I think Jay and I might have discussed it, but I think that was the first trade that we hadn't gone into any detail on in any of the other shows.
Okay, let's do it.
So Knights get Anthony Mantha, Capitals get a couple picks, and they retain salary. So far it looks like he is getting line two, power play two. Power play two is kind of gross, but this is kind of Walmart brand stone. Like they, you know, the whole point of the LTIR money is they put them on LTIR and they can substitute him for another player. So he's not one for one Mark Stone, but he is a scoring winger when he wants to. And it's done much better than his previous seasons this season on the Caps.
Yeah. Look, you nailed it on the head, man. I love the Walmart branded Mark Stone. Like, this guy's what, on his third NHL team now? Detroit.
Exactly. Yeah. How many changes of scenery do you get before it's not the teams, it's you, buddy.
I heard an interesting take on another podcast talking about Anthony Mantha. This guy's 6'5", 225 pounds, but he plays like he's 5'7" and 170 pounds, other than his ability to shoot the puck and score, which he hasn't shown in 3 years until now, which is his contract year.
Of course.
What they were talking about on that show was, will he fit with how Vegas plays? Because he is a gigantic, but he doesn't use his body. He doesn't chase pucks. He doesn't go into the corners. Like you said, he's like a Mark Stone, but the Walmart branded Mark Stone. So to me, my concern with Mantha is, where does he actually fit on this team? And does he eventually become, when everybody's there, and if Mark Stone does rise from the ashes, does he end up on the third line in the playoffs?
100%. You don't put Mark Stone on your third line. I mean, unless, you know, he's not 100%. He's not healthy enough for the regular season, but healthy enough for the playoffs healthy. You know, maybe you throw Mark Stone down there to kind of give him easier competition.
Look, I'm sure he's still wildly available. He has 20 goals on the season. Like, he doesn't do a whole lot. Yeah, like, he's still only 6% owned in Yahoo. Like, he has 20 goals, 14 assists, 92 shots on goal. So he's still not shooting the puck a ton. Like, he does a little bit of hitting. So since he made his debut with them on March 7th, he's only been getting 14 and a half minutes, 15. In his first game with Vegas, he had no shots on goal. Like, yeah, I don't know. If you want to take a chance on him, if Vegas has a good schedule, honestly, I wouldn't have a roster spot for him on any playoff team that I have going into week 23, week 24.
Yeah, like, I speculatively added him myself, but I was real quick to drop him for some of these other moves that happened out there.
Yeah, agreed. Stamp it. Taxi squad stamp. Boom.
So next one, actually, it's the one I'm probably the most excited about. Panthers get Vladimir Tarasenko.
Okay, I'm going to let you
picks, and then they retain.
I'm going to let you tell everybody why you're excited. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell everybody why.
Because I secretly really like the Panthers. Like, they were bread and butter for me, like, my first couple seasons of fantasy, just because no one knew who was on that team. But no, so far he is line one with Barkov and Reinhardt. And I forgot to look. He's most likely won't get power play one, but definitely probably power play two. And then, yeah, his game yesterday, he got two goals and an assist. Like, that is good move there. Yeah. But, definitely you want to keep an eye on his time on ice.
Yeah, he's not on power play one. He's on power play two.
And I figure he's a lock there.
He's not gonna chase Verhaeghe or Reinhardt from power play one unless somebody gets hurt.
Definitely not Reinhardt. Maybe Verhaeghe.
So yes, yesterday he had two goals, one assist, two shots on goal, two hits. In his debut on the 7th, which was Thursday, he had two shots on goal, no points, two hits, one shot. Now, Alan, you said it just as you were finishing. He's averaging around 14, let's say 14 and a half minutes time on ice since he joined the team. So he's getting less time on ice than Evan Rodriguez has been getting all season.
Why? Evan Rodriguez gets zero time on ice because he's day to day.
Okay, yes, Evan Rodriguez is toast. I get it, but my concern, and it's been happening to Tarasenko over the last few years, is his shots on goal rate are down. He's not shooting the puck enough like he was in his St. Louis days to be that consistent goal scorer. I'm going to agree with you on this one. I would rather take a splash with Tarasenko than Mantha, 1,000%. Partially to do to because he's playing with Barkov and Reinhardt at even strength. But if he can't push top 6 minutes there, no way in hell is he going to consistently produce offensively.
No. And that was exactly why in my notes I put keep an eye on his time on ice. Like if he's only going to get 14-ish minutes, that's anything he does is probably not sustainable.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I would 1,000% take a flyer on him, especially if you don't. Your playoffs don't start till week 24, so you still have 2 more weeks. Run him for 2 weeks, see what he does. If you're in a playoff spot, if he kind of, like you said, if his minutes don't go up, I would then try to find somebody that helps you maximize that schedule and games played in your quarters if you don't have a bye going into your playoffs. All right,
who's next? I definitely trust the Panthers over the Senators to actually do anything to give him opportunity.
They clearly got him to play in their top six,
right?
Like there's nobody that's gonna push him in the bottom six at this point in their playoff push, their Stanley Cup playoffs push for top 6 minutes. But he is also the odd man out in terms of mint time on ice at even strength amongst that top six, right? The only one he's really competing with is Sam Bennett, right? Because Sam Bennett's time on ice fluctuates big time depending on the situation or the flow of the game for the Panthers. I could see Mantha being dropped to the third line in Vegas after their next game and staying there. Tarasenko's that's not going to happen to him, right? They brought him in to play in their top six.
If anything, right? I see they swap. At even strength, they swap for Hagee and Tarasenko.
Yeah, but that's still a good line, though, right? And Matty Tkachuk, right? So anywhere he is in that top six is beneficial, especially if you're just taking a flyer on him, right?
So next one, Oilers get Adam Henrik and Sam Carrick, some picks, prospects, blah, blah, blah. So the fantasy relevant pieces here, Adam Henrik, probably the most fantasy relevant, maybe Sam Carrick to the Oilers.
Okay, so I'm real quick on this. I love Adam Henrik as a player. If he doesn't get top six deployment in this move, he's like, we already know nobody's seeing power play one on this team other than the big five, right?
Right.
If he doesn't get top six deployment and they brought him in to be the 3C, he is not fantasy relevant anymore.
Right. No, right. Totally agree. I thought it sounded like at first they were going to stack that top line with McDavid, Dry, and Hyman, and then do a line two of Nuge, Henrik, and then a Kane. But it seems like that he's now third C with Kane and Corey Perry, which gross. Gross for Kane, gross for Henrik.
No, it's even worse. It's third line with Kane and Connor Brown.
Even worse.
So not even Corey Perry.
Connor Brown, has he even scored a goal this season? I thought I heard something crazy that
I don't think he's scored because
I don't think he scored a goal at all.
He has not. He has 5 assists on the season.
great junior hockey signing.
I thought that was supposed to re-spark his career playing with his buddy from junior hockey. Look,
right.
And if I think this is probably why they brought him in, which is really crappy for his overall fantasy hockey relevance, because he does do a bit of everything. He was on a hot streak coming out of that move from Anaheim to Edmonton. He was in that on that top line, that top, I think he was on the power play too, actually in Anaheim, but he was on that top line. And now he's going to be a role player where he has no, like, so he's played 3 games there. He hasn't even seen 15 minutes time on ice yet. Since his acquisition in Edmonton. So unfortunately, this is a pure hockey move, not anything that helps you fantasy wise, unfortunately for Adam Henrique and for those that were riding his hot streak over the last 3 weeks in Anaheim before he got shipped out.
And then the next one here, it probably makes other pieces more fantasy relevant than the ones in the trade, but the Avs get Sean Walker and then the Flyers get Ryan Johansson, who they immediately put on waivers and haven't done anything with him since. But I'd say, yeah, Rigo, they got him out of Colorado. This is what paves the way for Casey Mittelstadt to be the 2C.
100%.
Do we think they call Rigo up and he plays in Philly at all?
I doubt it unless they get an injury. I just want to go back to the Henrique move because,
yeah,
and I know you and I are both going to hate this, but in the three games since he's left, it's put Killorin on the top line with McTavish and Max Jones.
He's already playing up there, and I hate it. It's gross.
And he's actually been on a little sneaky short hot streak, but it's gross.
But that's what Killorin does. That is what Killorin does. Like, he does stuff just long enough that people are like, oh man, should I pick up Killorin? And then he disappears.
But I think now, because Henrique is gone, it's going to put more time on ice with Ryan Strome, Killorin, McTavish.
Max Jones, I think, is the guy playing line one.
Max Jones has been bumped to line one with McTavish and Killorin. And he's been bumped to first power play unit too, which is interesting. So maybe just somebody to watch list, because they still do have the most off nights for the rest of the season, is Max Jones. If he runs into a hot streak, could be somebody to stream, at least in your quarters or your semis, because he does hit a little bit and shoot. So just somebody to watch list based on the Henrique move. Okay, so let's go back to the Avalanche move.
Yeah, right, Joe. Sean Walker, I don't think he's fantasy relevant.
Not going there, not with the depth defense they have there. And Rigo, you asked if he gets called up. I don't think so, unless they get an injury. And
that's even if he does, I'm not interested.
It's going to have to be Leighton or Couturier. And if one of them gets hurt, Frost goes up to line one. And Rigo probably goes to line three or line four. So he's still not relevant. So what's Walker doing now in Colorado?
Second or third pairing.
I like Walker as a defenseman, but yeah, he's on the third pairing with Jack Johnson, who's just coming back from injury. He's not going to get a sniff on either power play. So he becomes completely irrelevant, but it's a good transition into this next trade, which you and I love, right?
I'm trying to figure out how to get a squeeze value out of this already. So the Sabres get Bo and Byram, and the Avs get Casey Mittelstadt, one for one.
Just a good old fashioned hockey deal, one player.
I feel like it boosts the relevance of both.
100%. 100%.
Because it looks like Byram's paired with Dahlin so far and getting power play one time. Mittelstadt looks like, line two center. Like we said, he's, Ride shows out, Mittelstadt's in, but his line mates are Drouin, Barf, and Nuke. Power play two, but that unit gets less than 10% of the power play share in Colorado. So now you would stream Mittelstadt for even strength.
Yeah. And if anybody sees Byram on their waivers right now, that's listening or hears this on Monday or Tuesday, whenever Alan can get it out for the boys and girls that listen to us out there in listener land, you go smash ad on Byram right now. He had almost 27 minutes time on ice in Buffalo's last game. How much power play time that was, I don't know. He's still on power play one with Dahlin and Tage and Tuck and Skinner. You go smash that right now and ride that as your fourth or third defenseman. I guarantee you, especially I think you and I were talking about it, if your playoffs start in week 24, they are the only team that have two off nights in that week.
Week 24.
Yes, there's only a handful of teams that even have off nights in that week. And Buffalo is the only one that has two off nights. So Byron helps you, whether that's your quarters or your semis, instantaneously from a value add at a position that's very scarce right at this point in fantasy hockey land. And I think you and I talked about it. Let's be real here, people. at some point, one of Mittelstadt or Nuke are taking Jonathan Drouin off that power play 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
It's like there's no possible
most way. Likely Nichushkin, and then it looks like Lehkonen is day-to-day with illness. So, yeah, give me throw Mittelstadt up there, man. Like, get Drouin out of here. I'm so glad it's a one-year contract.
Yeah, so, like, I think there's fantasy value in both of these players, with the more impactful player being Byram. Definitely streamable player as we see his role probably grow over the next couple of weeks with the Avs and Mittelstadt. And for the love of God, Colorado, put one of them in power play one, not Johnny Drouin. Get him out of there, please. Please.
Yeah, moving on. Not super fantasy relevant. Actually, if anything, it's more of a demotion. The Rangers get Alex Wennberg from the Kraken, and the Kraken get some picks. They needed to replace Hedel. They got someone, but Wenberg's going to play shutdown role, third, fourth line.
This guy,
he did get power play two in that first game he was in. So something to keep an eye on maybe, but it's another one of those teams that runs like a 90-20 or 90-10 mix.
We've talked about a couple of guys that are like J Rob Light over the season. This guy is JT Comfort Light. That's how un fantasy hockey relevant he is. Unless you're in like the deepest of face-off leagues, then maybe you want some Wennberg action. But there's another guy that I think, and you actually pointed out to me, that we'll get to, that got acquired by the Rangers, that I think might have a little bit more fantasy oomph over the next four weeks of fantasy hockey remaining.
Oh, especially so, next week with
the Rangers Senko schedule. The Senko games with two off nights.
But the next one of the biggies, Noah Hanifin to Vegas. Flames get Miramanov, kind of a borderline not really fantasy relevant defenseman. Hanifin's the big piece there. We said he's getting power play two time. If anything, now in Calgary, the winners there are going to be Uyghur and Anderson, mostly Uyghur. So there's pretty much no competition for that power play one spot. More guys like Anderson, Shillington, those guys are getting more time. But I feel like Uyghur's the one that really comes out ahead there in Calgary.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think he has any competition for power play one now. That power play one is probably set for the duration of the season in Kuzmenko, Kadri, Huberto, Sharangovich, and Uyghur. Uyghur's had a fantastic season overall. This just boosts him even more for those that own him going into the fantasy hockey playoffs. Miramanov actually signed a two-year contract extension after the trade with Calgary, and he's on power play two. With
Anderson. I know in Vegas he got a look at one point, but Calgary's got a log jam.
He was an okay defensive prospect coming out of his draft year, so it'll be interesting to see what he becomes now that he's a bit more of a weaker defensive core around him, to see if he can actually become a top four guy. But this year, from a fantasy relevant standpoint, not really.
Next one, Joel Edmondson to the Leafs. Maybe in a Cats league if you want a guy for hits and blocks, but
barf. Guy's a gigantic ogre. He's gonna get like 18 minutes time on ice. If you need hits, he's gonna kill penalties for them, so he'll get opportunity to smash people. Like you said, if you need hits in a deep categories league, he'll probably be there, but he doesn't do anything else other than that. Maybe some PIMs if you have PIMs coverage in your league. But whatever, barf.
Yeah. Next, Anthony Beauvillier to the Preds.
even more barf.
Yeah. Line two, power play two. I don't know if they have a good schedule the rest of the season, but not someone. They're probably better flyers out there at that point.
At this point, if you don't have their top line, or Yossi, or Shen, or Lazon for hits, there ain't. And I guess Saros, there is nobody else you really want in Nashville at this point, especially Beauvillier.
Probably the next big one here, Gensel to the Hurricanes. Penguins get Michael Bunting and some prospects, blah blah blah. And like we discussed, Gensel Line one, we'll definitely get a good look at line one, power play one, Ty Smith, borderline NHL relevant, but Michael Bunting, that's probably worth discussing.
Yeah. So shocker, one of Dubas's guys goes directly into line one, power play one deployment. Even with Rust's return today, he still had that deployment. Rust was on power play two for at least today, but I think like he had since his debut there, he's had 1936 and 1850 with seven shots on goal in two games and three hits. So like, unfortunately, he's still only left wing eligible. So it limits your ability to put him in. But if he's going to get that type of minutes skating with Crosby and Rust now that he's back and he holds power play one, like once, you know, as much as I don't like the bunt man, the bunt cake, he did once upon a time have a 60-point season skating along the side, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner in Toronto.
I think either one of us could do that, though.
Yeah, true, true. But so there might be a little juice here because he might be the only one that's going to get true top 6 minutes out of everybody we've discussed. But I said it off the hop. Pittsburgh right now is just a dumpster fire. I don't think
they get shut out back-to-back games now? Because they got shut out today, and they got shut out again recently.
So they haven't scored since Wednesday of this week.
Dude, so. Is Crosby silent quitting, like, or quiet quitting now they traded Gensel?
Yeah, it's just ugly for them right now. Like, it's gross. Sorry, they've scored once in the last three games. They got shut out on Thursday. They only scored once against Boston in a 5-1 loss. And then they got, yes, they in fact got shut out again by Calvin Pickard at home against Edmonton in a 40-save effort. So they are hurting beyond belief right now. But if Bunting can hold this deployment, you know,
they'll score eventually.
Well, they did have 5 goals against the Blue Jackets on Tuesday. So, like, they still can score. They're just a mess right now. Like, if you watch their games, I watched a bit of it today. Like, Malkin looks like he's just out for a skate. Like, he's not doing a whole lot right now. Like you said, is Crosby just like...
Is he quiet quitting? Yeah, just like, they traded my boy. I'm done.
Like, can I just get to the offseason? And then if Dubas just wants to sprinkle a bunch of ex-Leaf players around me, like, can you just send me to Colorado or something? Like, get me out of here. at least he doesn't have Lars Eller on his wing anymore. Yeah, I guess Bunting is better than Lars Eller. But this... I wanted to say, because I sent this in our team chat earlier today, this with Rust's return and what appears to be Bunting at least getting this deployment in the short term. Ricky Rax, so long, sweet prince. He only had 11 minutes, 35 seconds time on ice today in their game. Yeah, if you have Ricky Rax and you were riding his hot streak before Rust's return and now this Bunting deployment, it's not looking good for Ricky. He did still have power play one today. I'd be surprised if that continues once Rust is back up to full speed, unless the Pustinen gets boosted off there, but he's been there for a while now. I wouldn't be shocked if they shake things up with their lines and everything like that with the struggles they're going through. But yeah, we talked about Gensel. I think he eventually ends up with Kuznetsov and Necas on the second line, because I would imagine they're going to try to spread out the offense. If that happens, that to me is concerning for even strength time on ice, because they'll really be trying to balance that out. So you're probably looking at somewhere between 16 and a half to 18 and a half minutes for that whole top six. But there is a possibility where he bumps Turbo down to that line with Kuznetsov and Necas, and he gets right wing with Aho and Svechnikov, which is probably the more likely scenario. Kuznetsov was practicing today on power play one. I highly doubt that that remains once Gensel is healthy.
I was gonna say we can get to that. That's we got stuff. I got stuff on that.
Okay. Let's keep going.
But so next one, Anthony Duclair through the Lightning.
This is your team, so I'm gonna let you tell.
So I did watch that first game that he was in. He started on third line, but then by second period, he was up in the second line with Cirelli and Stamkos, which is 100% where I predicted he would end up. Connor Sheary's been a giant turd, and they really haven't found anyone else to get that line going.
Wait, what about Nick Paul, man? What about Nick Paul?
No, he's not a top six elite skill. Like, yeah, it was worth a try, but he couldn't get that line going. But he did, I think, had a goal and an assist in that game. It was a 7-0 shellacking of the Flyers, where Torts got kicked out.
Torts got kicked out in 10 minutes. Yes. Just had one of those memorable meltdowns. Didn't want to leave the bench. It was beautiful. I just brought back memories of Torts just losing his goddamn mind like 5 years ago. But they just made our Viking, Mr. Earson, just look Swiss cheese. He looked fucking terrible.
He got lit. But yeah, no, I absolutely, line two, power play two.
Do you think he bumps Cirelli?
Like off of power play one?
I am shocked. I'm shocked Cirelli still has that spot. Honestly.
It's in that front. I don't know if Duclair could be a net front guy.
Nah, I don't know. He probably gets hurt if you put him in that front in a power play one spot.
And we're out of LTIR money.
Look, I think if he holds that deployment and he can get Stamkos humming, and there you start playing off each other, even though, you know, unfortunately there is no real true playmaking center between the two of them. I think there's some relevance there. Especially if he's going to get like 17-ish minutes time on ice. I would like to see him bump Cirelli, but I do understand that. Is he really a net front guy? Probably not.
No, I'd say they switch. They go back and forth between Cirelli and Paul.
Yeah, so maybe not there, but definitely some depth scoring for your deeper leagues out there for sure now that he's in a better situation. No doubt about that.
And then there we go. Now we're getting to it. Hurricanes get Evgeny Kuznetsov and the Capitals get a pick, whatever. So far it looks like, yes, he's playing down at the bottom, which is almost an insult compared to who the other centers are, but he has played on these last two games in the top unit.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes.
Yeah. And I think this is, you know, a team that's looking for depth scoring and a scoring bump. They have had struggled over the last couple of years to score in the playoffs. You know, they got a bona fide elite scorer in Gensel. Hopefully he's 100% when he does return. I know he's been skating on his own, but this is just trying to catch lightning in a bottle. This is a former 70-point player in Kuznetsov that's been pretty, let's be honest, he's been pretty terrible for like 2.5 years. But if he can click with his new team, he's much more of a playmaker. So I do like him with Natchez and somebody like Gensel, versus, you know, seeing Turbo on that line. So it would be nice to see him with two shooters. Maybe you put Jarvis up there and bump Turbo down to the third line. I think that's what will you, you know, will probably get Kuznetsov the most out of him if he's got two shooters on his wings, where Turbo's more of a playmaking winger. You know, I don't think you're going to see them break up Svechnikov and Aho at any point. But this is just trying to catch lightning in a bottle.
I don't know, man. I'm a sucker for a good comeback underdog story. Like, I hope he finds his game here.
Yeah, it would be really cool to see and him kind of come back to form.
But 2C, I feel like, is his ceiling on that team.
Yeah, is this a guy you take a flyer on right now, though, where in terms of the center
right
position?
Now, if he is projected to be on that second line, maybe.
Yeah, if he holds that position, he's not keeping power play one. There's no way. Gensel's taking that spot the moment he touches the ice.
That's true. Okay.
So if he does hold power that line too, and it's with the likes of Jarvis, Natchez, or Gensel, yeah, I think you maybe could take a flyer on him, but we're getting into the nitty gritty right now. So unless you have somebody formidable to drop, you don't necessarily want to take that risk. Now, going to the Washington side of things, granted, he hasn't really been relevant for a month or so in Washington before they put him on waivers, but this cements, you know, I still think Strom's going to get all the even strength time on ice, even though he's in the 3C spot. But there's no competition for Strom on power play one now, but this could see a nice little bump for the Hendricks, LaPierre and Connor McMichael in terms of even strength deployment. You know, nobody's around to bump them out of the top nine. This probably keeps Tom Wilson on power play one for the rest of the season. So he's kind of still sneakily available out there a little bit, riding a little bit of hot streak, you know, pulling at heartstrings. You know, best wishes out to Tom Wilson. He played the other day with after his passing of his grandfather, and then he scored twice. So maybe you can ride a little hot streak of Tommy Wilson going into your fantasy playoffs. They have a half decent schedule over the next 3 weeks with four games next week. But I think for your boy, Dylan Strome and Tom Wilson, this keeps them on power play one the rest of season, which is great for those two, especially with them still shockingly under owned in a lot of leagues. So, right.
And then next up is the Tyler Toffoli trade. I feel like we pretty much covered it, right? Like,
yeah,
guaranteed lock for top six. He'll knock Iafallo off power play one. But when Vilardi comes back, then what? I guess is the big question mark.
Yeah, I think it's just watch when Vilardi returns and who out of the two of them gets power play one.
Although I guess on the Devils, who does this give? Does someone's got to get a bump from?
He's already gotten a bump if we want to believe in him again.
Well, I mean, who on the Devils gets the... it's the bump where Toffoli was?
Well, right now it's Timo who's got who's got the time on ice. I don't really think it's changed power play one unless it's put Palat back there. I would like to see Meyer get that spot on power play one, but they have been rolling their power play units most of the season. But the guy who's benefited since Toffoli's exit has been Meyer. His time on ice has been up. His shots on goal has been up. His scoring has been up.
See, I wonder how much of that is the coaching change and how much of that is will be the loss of Toffoli.
The one guy that I circled for this Toffoli change, because like Andre Palat, like
how is not this guy? Even Homer pick. Like he, even in his peak, like he was never the guy who really made the box score. He was the guy who set up like young Tyler Johnson and young Kucherov to make the good plays.
I'm just hopeful that this gives some sort of bump on opportunity back to Dawson Mercer, right? Like center, right wing eligible. He seems to be forgotten this season, even after his great season last year. And like now you have an opening in your top six with Toffoli moving. I understand the bump down into the bottom nine with Toffoli coming there, but now that he's gone, like Mercer played in Palat's spot in the top six a ton last year, right? So like I want to keep an eye on Mercer and see where he ends up over the next week or so with Green there and Toffoli gone and him and Green looking to give a little bit more role with his top six. Just scroll down for a second, Alan. I thought this was going to give it to you. Not fantasy relevant at all. I thought the Malcolm Subban trade was a precursor for the King to get moved.
That's what I thought too. I was like, this is it. This is it. They're moving Elvis. Nope.
I was about to message you. I was like, it's happening. He's going somewhere. And then they didn't move him at all. However, on an Elvis Merzlikins note, they have a hell of a schedule next year. Three really weak appointments next week. If you need a goalie streamer, 0G, Hero G, Elvis Merzlikins for week 22, you grab him. I think they play the Sharks.
Or even Tarasov's been good his last couple starts.
Yeah, I would stream any of them, especially their first three games next week. They've got Anaheim, the Sharks, and the Senators before they play Winnipeg on the Sunday. So get that. And Columbus is playing a little bit better since Boone Jenner came back from injury. But let's go. Let's keep going.
Yeah, Pat Maroon, not fantasy relevant to me.
Yeah.
Kyler Pokso, same deal, but no. Jason Tucker to the Preds.
Look, that's hits, shots on goal. But like we already talked about the Preds.
Line two, power play two.
If you don't have their top line, Yossi or Saros or the two hitting beasts in their defensive core, maybe you get Zucker if you need hits and shots on goal. He might sprinkle in a little bit of peripheral scoring, but if unless he gets top six deployment.
Well, he is, yeah. That second line is
Him, second line's so bad.
It's him, Sissons, and
again, another team Avilier. That doesn't make sense to me. They're given so much love last year and ice time, and I know they had some injuries to Tommy Novak and Luke Evangelista, and this year I know Novak was injured for a lot of it, but there's just no love for their young players and their development, and now you bring in you're gonna suppress that development.
I think if they weren't making playoffs this year, those guys true. Might get more.
But love. Does Bevilier help you in the playoffs? Like, my God, Zucker maybe. He might help you in the playoffs. Like, that's, I like the Scissorman.
Bevilier's a veteran, though.
The Scissorman and Zucker are going to be tough to play against. But Bevilier, like,
eh. All right. And then, here we go. Devils mixing up their goalie, Boglecube. Went and got Jake Allen from the Canadians.
Which I don't even know. I don't even know what the Devil's plan is right now. Like, no. They're supposed to be a playoff team. They're supposed to be contending for a cup with all their young talent. You know, I know they lost Dougie Hamilton early, but like, really? Like, you think Kakkonen and Jake Allen are going to solve your goalie problems?
It's an improvement over what they had. And none of those guys were really taking hold of it.
Yeah, Dawes had a sprinkle of decency, but oh God.
Turn into a pumpkin real quick. But Allen, he'll be the backup unless Kakkonen immediately turns into a pumpkin.
I think Green's going to rotate them. I think it'll be a 50-50 share. I think these are both streamable 0G candidates. Rest of the season. Like, I would imagine this sends Dawes back down or Schmid back down.
Or both.
But like, it'll be a 50-50 split. And then like, Allen ends up their backup next year because maybe they pursue somebody more relevant like Markstrom or
What the GM came out and said, like, trade deadline, not the place to really for them to make that splash. But so i.e. they're going to get Markstrom in the summer.
All right. I'll let you touch on Dumba. not sure how fast he is.
It looks like at least for the one game, his time on ice was right in line with what he was getting on the Coyotes. Really just a guy who's going to get you hits and blocks at this point. It looks like they're okay with Darren Radish on power play two. He'll get power play two.
From what I've watched of your boys this year, I like Radish, man. Like, he's a pretty good player. Like,
he's one of those call-ups that just kind of stuck.
Like, I think he's got some promise. Like, I know he's going to get a bump down next year when Sergachev comes back, but he's looked pretty good in the opportunities gotten. Mac Dumba, yeah, like you said, hits and blocks.
His ceiling, power play two, 20 here
you
minutes.
Go. I know you like this one.
Yeah.
This one you like. So you started off here.
Yeah, so Rangers get Jack Roslovic and the Blue Jackets get picks, blah, blah, blah. I think so with Wheeler going down, possibly his career is over. I think at least at first, it looks like he's going to get a sniff on line one with Kreider and Zibanejad. Hopefully it gets Zibanejad going, man. I really regret making that trade for him now. I don't think he gets power play one. That unit is pretty much locked. But in Columbus, he was a guy who could absolutely roll at times with their quote top end talent.
Yeah.
So yeah, I say, yeah, he's gets a good look on line one.
Yeah, I think this is very much a depth scoring move for the Rangers. He can sprinkle in a couple of faceoffs for you in a faceoff league. I think he falls directly into the kind of pocket where Lafreniere is. He's going to get even strength deployment, 16 to 17 minutes time on ice. He's going to get scoring opportunities because of who he's playing with. So he could be a very nice depth piece for any fantasy hockey team right now, especially those trying to
next
make
week.
Yeah, next week with the five games, two off nights, I will 100% pick up Roslovic and just see what he does with the five games. And if he comes alive, runs a hot streak, then maybe you hold on to him for week 23. But I think he could fall in the same vein as Lafreniere. And Lafreniere's had several hot streaks that people have been able to ride this year, playing with Trocheck and the Breadman. So I think it's very much a sneaky depth fantasy hockey relevant move there for sure. From a Columbus standpoint, like he was playing on the third line. You know, there's a sneaky play there with Alex Nylander, who was acquired from Pittsburgh in one of the kind of whatever deals a week before the deadline. But Alex Nylander has been on a hot streak of his own. He's on power play one with Jenner, Gaudreau, Werenski, and Boqvist. So somebody in deeper leagues, Alex Nylander and Roslovic for sure next week, both relevant for fantasy, at least right now in a vacuum.
And then the hurdle trade, I think we
we nailed that. I'm a little bit more higher than you are. I think it makes hurdle 100% fantasy relevant next year. Probably you see him drafted in the, you know, mid to late, you know, the single digit rounds next year, like 7th, 8th, 9th round, just bumps him all together. Really, what is this? All this is poo. Like
Kakanen going to the now the last one, Vanecek for Kakanen. The Sharks collecting the or completing their collection of former Jersey Devils goaltenders.
Well, I think I saw too. Vanecek's most likely done for the year with his injury, so it's a long-term IR stash for the San Jose Sharks
to reach that floor. I think, like we said with the Jake Allen thing, he's one of them. Probably Kakanen will get a shot at taking the net first. And then, yeah, maybe they rotate. Maybe they, rotate till one of them gets hot and then ride that one until they take a dive.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're probably going to get 50-50 split. Maybe Kakanen gets the 60% starter.
Kakanen wasn't that bad. He is 895 on the season. Remember, league average is 903. So he's not that far off from it on a terrible Sharks team. Maybe he at least provides you league average goaltending on the Devils.
He showed flashes of being, you know, a slightly above average NHL goaltender when he was with the Wild, right? Before he went.
He stole the job from, what was it, Talbot for a minute?
Yeah. So, like, he does, he obviously has some form of pedigree and skill. So he, you know, I'm just looking up his contract status to see. He's an RFA, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I know Allen got 2 years of contract of salary retention. So I would imagine they're keeping. Yeah, so Kakanen's probably just there. He's a UFA at the end of this year, but maybe they give him some runs, see if he can get a contract elsewhere. Yeah, he's 275 this year for the remainder of this year. So they're definitely going to keep Allen as their backup next year, who's got that 1925 hit with the salary retention from Montreal. As I sneeze, thank God we're live. All right, so I think that wraps it up there.
That's it.
Alan, before we sign off, give me your favorite trade and give me who you think is going to be the most fantasy relevant.
Like I said, I'm in love with that Tarasenko trade. Like, I really think Florida is someone to watch out for in the East.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair. I know you've been high on that since that happened. And I'm going to go with the Byram Mittelstadt. But I'm leaning Byram. I think Byram's going to be massive for a lot of fantasy teams out there. And I think he's going to show some serious flashes where he never really got an opportunity in Colorado because of their depth with Buffalo. And I also think that we didn't even touch on it, that Mittelstadt move for anybody out there, Dylan Cousins, he's very underowned. This has no pressure now for Cousins on PP1, no pressure on Cousins for line two. He shoots, he's center, right wing eligible. I think that gives him a serious bump rest of season for a team that really is looking for consistent scoring. So I really like the Byram opportunity for those looking for defensive help out there. Very, very lowly owned. It's probably shot up since the deal. But, you know, grab him wherever you can, especially if you've got semis or quarters in week 24, as we mentioned. Only team with two off nights in the whole league, and the off nights in that week are very, very scarce. So you better hope your big boys in week 24, for whoever's in the playoffs, bring it for your team, or you might be toast. So it could be somebody like Byram or Cousins that are the difference maker in a week like that. And then I'm going to go right back to the Vegas Golden Knights. I love the Hurdle acquisition. If he is healthy and that knee's good to go, I think he can make an immediate splash for teams. And definitely going into next year, I think it makes him so much more fantasy relevant. I don't think he's a 60-point player anymore on that team. I think he's like a 70, 75-point player, even though they roll their lines. Got to love the Guentzel one, but you and I have talked about it with Jay. Got to just watch how that whole thing plays out. He's going to get line one, power play one, most likely. But Brind'Amour doesn't like to give everybody consistent time on ice other than Aho. So that could maybe limit his ceiling overall, but he's going to get all the opportunity in the world to help them score goals. There's no doubt about that. I think that's it. I think that does our overview for the trade deadline special from the Taxi Squad here. Going into next week, you'll see our usual flagship shows. So like we said, we'll release this as a podcast either Monday or Tuesday for those that weren't able to join us, for those that were, and those that submitted questions. Thank you so much for your time and listening. As always, we really appreciate your support on this Taxi Squad journey that Alan, Jay, and Maddie K and myself have been on. So far this year has been a blast. We can't wait to bring you more content as we get closer and closer to the close of the season. Hopefully you locked down some victories in week 21 and some playoff spots heading into next week. Don't forget the Rangers and the Winnipeg for your schedule maximization and streaming opportunities heading into next week. Those are the two teams you want to target the most. If you have players on those rosters available, jump on them tonight or early morning tomorrow to help yourselves win in week 22. Alan and myself, hopefully Matty K, when he's back from his mojito haze, can join us on the flagship shows. We'll be back for the week 22 weekend preview midweek, and then we'll be back for the week 23 week preview later on this week, and then the live show on Saturday for your starts and sits. But until then, Alan, you get the privilege of turning off the fares.
Yes.
I'll go put some gas in this bad boy because we've been driving around all weekend. And hopefully Matty can join us in the van cab at some point this week as well. But until then, we will say goodnight, everybody. It's all love. Thank you again for listening. And the Taxi Squad will be back real soon.
Go to bed, kids. And, we'll pick you up next time.
Well, that's right. We'll pick you up later. Signing off for Jay.